Well, good evening, everyone. This is the webcast, the live Father Heart Tea webcast on Wednesday, 20th September. And it's the first of a two-part series called We're All Sons and Heirs. And really, tonight and next week, I'm just going to be going through the book of Galatians and looking at this amazing gift which has been given to us, this gift of sonship. And I did this talk a few weeks ago in Finland on a B school, and I got really excited by it. I got really excited when I was preparing and then when I was talking about it, because this is what we've been called to be. We've been called to be sons and daughters and to live in the sonship of Jesus. And so I just want to take this evening and next Wednesday just to unpack this for us. So I hope as many of you as possible will be able to join us next Wednesday. But the book of Galatians is probably the first letter that Paul wrote. And it's quite a short letter and it's quite a concise letter. And a lot of the things that Paul talks about in Galatians, in a sort of overview, in a brief sort of way, he unpacks a lot more in some of his other letters. So, for example, in the book of Romans, there's a lot more detail to some of the things, some of the topics or issues that Paul raises in Galatians. But Galatians gives us this very, very succinct overview of what the gospel is. You know, what the good news really is all about. And I know we talked about this on the webcast the other week about what is the good news, what is the gospel. You know, what really is the central thing that excites us. And Paul puts this so well for us in Galatians. And, you know, when Galatians was written, it was written as a letter from Paul to the church in Galatia. And the background had been, Paul, on one of his journeys, had planted the church in Galatia, and he'd set it up, and, you know, he'd got leaders appointed, and he'd got a good foundation. He'd laid a good foundation in the church. And then, of course, Paul carries on with his travels. And then a little while later, he hears things about this church in Galatia that upset him or disturb him. And so he writes this letter to them. Now, it originally would have been written on a scroll. And if the scroll was unrolled, it would probably be about 4 or 5 meters long. And right in the middle, right at the middle point of this scroll, is one particular verse which really sums up what the gospel is all about. You know, right at the middle of this scroll is Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Now, of course, when Paul wrote this, he didn't write it with chapters and verses. You know, they were all added a lot later on. But, you know, what is now Galatians 3 verse 26 was the midpoint of this scroll. And Galatians 3 26 says, "Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." You know, and that is the central revelation of the gospel. You know, this is the nub of what Paul had sown into that church, and what Paul sowed into all of the churches that he planted and all of the places that he visited. The central revelation of this good news is that through faith, we are all sons of God. Now, you know, when we talk about sons, it's not a gender thing. It's not specific to the boys and it leaves the girls out. When we talk about sons, we're talking about everybody. We're all included in the sonship of Jesus. You know, Paul often writes that we are in Christ, you know, that we are in Christ Jesus. And it's like we are in him, hidden in him, wrapped up in the Father. And this is just such an amazing sort of gift to us. And so once we are in Christ, once we know that we're in Christ, we are actually living in the sonship of Jesus. So Paul is saying that, you know, the central key is for us to live as sons and daughters, not to get, you know, bogged down or sidetracked into anything else, but to live in that place of relationship with the Father, living in love, knowing that we're loved, and, you know, knowing in the same way as Jesus knew that he was a son, that we know that we're a son or a daughter. You know, and, you know, Paul puts it so clearly there, you are all sons of God, because that would have been such a radical transformation for his listeners, because that broke away from the traditions of what we call the Old Testament, where God was a bit distant. And, you know, Paul is bringing to us the revelation that Jesus had brought to his disciples, that the Father himself loves us, and the Father loves each one of us in exactly the same way as he loves his son Jesus. And so Paul is showing us this new journey, this new life of sonship, based on relationship rather than a religion which was based on rules and regulations. And so sonship is being brought into the right relationship with the Father. And that's the whole thrust of Paul's letter to the Galatians, and therefore Paul's letter to us, is for us to know that we can be brought into right relationship with the Father, and we can live as sons and daughters. Now, you know, that's the central message, that's the central revelation of the gospel. That's something that Paul would have planted into the church when he started it. But we very quickly read at the beginning of Galatians that something has gone quite badly wrong. You know, Paul starts off his letter, and of course it didn't have verses, but he starts off his letter with a general introduction and, you know, how are you and I'm well and all that sort of niceties. But then in verse 6, he gets straight into the reason for him writing this letter. You know, Galatians 1 verse 6 says, I am astonished, he says, that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ, and you are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. You know, Paul's concern for this church is that within a very short space of time, they've started to be attracted by another gospel. And in fact, Paul says there is no other gospel. You see, what had probably happened is some visiting speakers or visitors had come into the church and started to teach something that was different or contrary to the foundation that Paul had laid. And he actually tells us what that is, and we'll look at that in a minute. But, you know, Paul had laid this clear foundation of sonship, this clear foundation of relationship, this clear foundation of us receiving the Spirit that enables us to cry, Abba, Father. And he's led the church into this relationship with the Father so that they would know that they're sons and daughters, and they would know that they're loved. And within a short space of time, someone else has come in and have turned them away from the gospel that and the foundation that Paul laid, and is trying to divert them onto another track. And Paul says, I am so concerned about this. You know, this is not what I expected to hear. I didn't expect you to deviate so quickly. And he says, but, you know, you think you're turning to another gospel, but there is no other gospel. And it's like, you know, Paul is wanting to call them back and says, You know, there is no other gospel. And he actually tells us what that other gospel is in Galatians 3, verse 2. He says, so answer me this. He's trying to find out what they're thinking and where they're going. And he's trying to challenge them with the path they've started to walk down instead of the journey of sonship that Paul had set them on. And so he says, answer me this. Did the Holy Spirit come to you as a reward for keeping all of the Jewish laws? No, you received him as a gift because you believed in the Messiah. And, you know, what Paul is showing us here, what the other gospel is, what the people in this church in Galatia have turned back to, thinking that it's the true gospel. Whereas Paul says, no, it's not the true gospel. The true gospel is the gospel I gave you, which is the gospel, the good news of sonship and living in right relationship with a loving Father. See, what they'd done was they'd reverted back to their tradition. They'd reverted back to their old way. They'd fallen back into what was easy for them, and they'd lost sight of this new direction that Paul had given them, which was based on faith in Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think there's a point here for all of us. It's very easy for us to fall back into tradition. It's very easy for us to let go of the walk of faith and revert back to our traditions, our rules and regulations, because they're familiar to us. And that familiarity almost makes it easier rather than a walk of faith, which is, you know, walk of faith is stepping into the unknown, but trusting that you go into the unknown with your loving Heavenly Father, who is always several steps ahead of us, leading us and showing us the way. But the step of faith is always a step of faith into the unknown. And, you know, Paul is telling us here that they'd reverted back to their traditions because it didn't need faith. And so they'd started to keep the law again. They'd started to keep all the Jewish laws, which Paul had come to show them they were set free from through the grace and the work of Jesus Christ. You know, and Paul is really, really labouring this point because to him it's so crucial if we're to live in the central revelation of the new gospel, which is this gospel of sonship. And so Paul really hits it on very, you know, six verses into his letter, he's challenging them on what they're doing wrong and how they're not following the path of sonship which he left with them and set them along. And he's saying, why have you reverted back to this old way of trying to keep the law instead of living this exciting journey of sonship? See, Paul says to them in Galatians 1 verse 12, he said, you know, I didn't receive this from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You see, Paul is saying that this is a revelation that Jesus gave to him. You know, he didn't make it up. He didn't concoct it as a new formula, but it was an encounter with the risen Jesus, and it was a direct revelation that Jesus gave to him on how the church should be. In fact, when Paul is giving an account of his own conversion to, I think it's King Agrippa in Acts 26, you know, Paul is giving a much more detailed account of his conversion on the Damascus Road and what happened when he fell off his high horse and when he was blinded and all that sort of thing. And he says to the king, he says that, you know, that I would become a witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you. He says, That's what it's saying. Jesus told to him, he says, Jesus said to me, you know, when I had that encounter with him on the Damascus Road, that I would be a witness of the things he shows me and the things that I see. And it's like Paul is saying that we are the recipients of an amazing gift which only comes through direct revelation. See, relationship, the relationship we're talking about this week and next week, this relationship of us being sons and daughters, this relationship of us living loved, living in the place of unity and intimacy with the Father, is a relationship that comes out of a revelation. And each one of us needs to have that revelation in our heart where we say, now I know, now I can see who my Father is, now I can see who I really am. You see, that we cannot enter this journey of sonship through following a set of rules or a set of regulations. There's no formula that leads us into this. It really is a revelation when the eyes of our heart are opened and we see who our Father is and we see who we are. And just as Paul had this incredible revelation on the Damascus Road and obviously had other revelations of Jesus and the things he was saying to him, you know, along the journey, each one of us comes into our sonship through a revelation that touches and changes our hearts. You know, Paul prays in Ephesians that the eyes of our heart would be opened. And it's as the eyes of our heart are opened, we have this revelation of who our Father is and who we are. And you know, this gospel, this central revelation of the gospel that we're all sons of God through faith, this was a direct revelation that Paul received from Jesus. And he passes on to the church. He passes on to us because it's so important for him that we understand that this is what we live in, that we live in our sonship. And, you know, this was the central revelation, the central message of his gospel. And this is what the church has turned away from. This is what the people have turned away from when they fell back into another gospel, which was no gospel, when they fell back into following all of the laws and trying to do the right thing, trying to win their relationship with God through their activity and their behavior. And Paul says it doesn't work like that. You know, Paul says it's a journey of faith and it's a receiving of a gift through faith. It's not compliance with laws and regulations and doing the right thing in the hope that one day you might be able to claim that you've got right relationship with God. And Paul is really, really challenging them here and saying, I am so astonished that you've deserted the truth and you've fallen back into your old ways. And I believe what he says there is a warning for all of us that it's easy to fall back into the old ways rather than continuing this journey of sonship and walking with him in relationship, you know. And just, you know, we can benefit from what Paul said to the Galatians, because he's challenging them on how easily they've fallen back into their old ways. And you and I know that that is easy for us to do as well. And, you know, we can receive this not as a negative thing, but we can just receive this as a guide and as a pointer to keep us walking in the truth that we are all sons of God through faith. And so my heart this evening is that we receive this as an encouragement to continually walk the pathway of sonship, to continually focus on the truth that we are all sons of God through faith. And, you know, if anything this evening, I just want to pull us back to that truth and say this is the central revelation of the gospel, that we have been brought into right relationship with the Father through the blood of Jesus. But it's easy for us to fall back into trying to keep the law. Now, sometimes the law is the law, but sometimes the law is what we make up for ourselves. And it's our own sort of set of rules and things that we think we have to try and do and obey and follow in order to live the right sort of life. And, you know, my heart and my encouragement this evening is to say, let's focus on this central revelation of the gospel, that we are all sons of God through faith. See, the law had come back in. See, this was the other gospel that Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, that the law had come back in. It didn't need any faith. And not only had it come back in for the Jews, but it was also being forced onto the Gentiles as well. And even Peter is being a little bit double-minded and hypocritical on this. And, you know, Paul criticizes Peter for following the law when it suits him and when he thinks it will appease the people around him. And you get the impression that Paul's a little bit cross about this. And he kind of sort of says, you know, even Peter's getting it wrong. And, you know, I've rebuked him to his face and I've told him, you know, what the truth is and everything. And I find this really interesting because, you know, in Acts chapter 15, the leaders of the church in Jerusalem and were having this debate about how the gospel could go beyond the Jews to the Gentiles and what it meant and whether they should keep the law, and if they should keep the law, how much of the law should they keep, and, you know, what did it all mean? And they do what everyone does, and they call a church meeting and they get everybody together and they talk about this issue of what does the law mean, how do we obey the law in the new covenant, what should we force the Gentiles to do, if anything. And in the end, when they've had this debate in Acts chapter 15, Peter stands up and he says, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor us have been able to bear? See, Peter nails it. He absolutely gets it bang on. He listens to this argument. He listens to this debate. And he says, hang on, guys. Why are we even thinking about getting the Gentiles to obey the law? He says, you know, our forefathers couldn't obey the law. We can't obey the law. How can we possibly expect the other people, these Gentiles, these foreigners, how can we expect them to even begin to keep the law when we can't? And he absolutely nails it. And it's like he sees it so clearly. And it's like such a revelation to him that it's impossible to keep the law. And therefore, there has to be another way. And what I find fascinating from that passage in Acts is they hear Peter bring this amazing revelation. And then a couple of verses later, James stands up. And James is Jesus's brother. He's the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And James says, well, you've heard what Simon said. He doesn't even call him Peter. He says, you've heard what Simon said, how impossible it is to keep the law. And he says, yes, I think that's a very good thing. But I think we should make them keep this bit of the law and that bit of the law. So it's like Peter has this amazing revelation that it's impossible to keep the law. And then James says, no, let's write them a letter and say this is what they have to do. And it's like dear old James has fallen back into the law and the ways of the law. And he wants to put that onto the people. And so even though Peter had had that clear revelation that this was a yoke that their forefathers hadn't kept, they hadn't been able to keep, you know, how can we possibly put this on them? You know, by the time we get to this letter in Galatians, you know, we find that Peter is being a little bit double-minded, a little bit hypocritical, and Paul has to confront him and say, no, it's not about keeping the law. It's about knowing that we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The law is impossible to keep, and the law will always lead us into slavery. It will never lead us into freedom. The law does not bring us into right relationship with the Father. It is only through faith in the completed work of Jesus that we are brought into that relationship. You know, the law is trying to get us right through our own actions, and it's impossible. And when you read Romans chapter 7, you find out why it's impossible. It's impossible because working against the law is something that Paul calls the law of sin and death in our members, in our body. And it's like there's, we want to do the right thing. As Paul says, I want to do the right thing. In Romans 7, he says, I really, really want to do the right thing, but I can't. And he says, however hard I try to do the right thing, there is something inside of me which prevents me doing the right thing. And he calls it the law of sin and death. And there's a constant struggle in us, and we can all identify with this, I believe, that there's this constant struggle inside of us where something inside of us wants to do the right thing. Something inside of us really, really wants to do the right thing, but something else inside of us is struggling and fighting against that. And what we know from our own experience and our own lives is so often the law of sin and death wins. And so we end up not doing the right that we want to do, but we end up doing the wrong that we don't want to do, as Paul writes in Romans 7. Romans 7 really unpacks in a lot more detail some of these things that Paul mentions for us in Galatians. And we end up, and I guess we can all identify with this, we end up with this struggle going on inside of us where it's the struggle of trying to do the right thing but failing too often. And Paul refers to the law as being a guardian, which is a bit like being a fence around us, which is trying to keep us safe from sin until the promise comes through Jesus. But unfortunately, in our battle between the law and sin, it's often sin that wins. And in Romans 7, Paul says that the law is good. You know, there's a lot of, you know, the law is good, the law is holy, but the law is not our saviour. And, you know, the thing that Paul is challenging here in Galatians is that people have fallen back into this other gospel, which of course is no gospel at all, and they've fallen back into believing that the law will be their saviour, that the law will lead them to salvation. And Paul says, no, that's not it. The central revelation, the central message is that we are all sons of God through faith, and that faith is the gift that we receive. It's not something that we have to sort of crank up and make to work for us. And Paul is really, really strong about this, because at the beginning of Galatians chapter 3, Galatians 3 verse 1, he says, look, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? You know, that's kind of like really sort of going for it. And, you know, bewitched is is like witchcraft, and witchcraft is the force of Satan. You know, and Paul is saying to these people here, you've been led astray by the force of Satan, by witchcraft. You've been bewitched. You know, he says, it doesn't count for anything. The only thing that counts is love. And in Galatians 5, verse 6, you know, Paul says to us, he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. See, just as the Galatians slip back into an old way of trying to keep the law, so, you know, we can do that as well. It's easy for us to try to think that if we do the right thing, or if we behave the right way, it will lead us, you know, deeper into a relationship with God. And Paul says, no, it's not about that. You know, he uses the example of circumcision or uncircumcision because that was the kind of the thing they were debating. You know, do the Gentiles have to be circumcised or not? And it became a big issue for them. And he says, oh, come on, guys, it doesn't matter. What matters is faith working through love. That we've been given the gift of faith, and that will lead us into a deeper expression of love. And the gospel, the true gospel that Paul is revealing, is the spirit of sonship. And the spirit of sonship goes beyond any and every cultural expression. In Galatians 3, verse 28, Paul writes, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, but you are all one in Christ Jesus. And this is just so important for us to understand, that we are one in Christ. You know, our unity and our oneness is found in Christ. It's found in the completed work of Jesus. And Paul says, you know, don't set yourself, you know, if you're a boss, if you're an employer, you're no better than your workers. If you're a master, you're no better than your slaves. If you're a Jew, you're no better than a Greek. You know, the message and the revelation of our salvation is that we are all one in Christ Jesus. And, you know, Paul is stripping this away and saying, you know, guys, we're just all sons and daughters. We just live in relationship with the Father. We don't have to compete or set ourselves up against one another, but we are all one. And the way we enter into this sonship, the way we enter into this unity, is through baptism. You know, baptism is how we come into this culture-free zone. We read when Jesus got baptized in the River Jordan, Jesus goes into the water, John the Baptist baptizes him, and when he comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit appears on him in the form of a dove. And the Father speaks from heaven and says, this is my Son. See, when Jesus was baptized, he was confirmed as a son of his Father. And the beautiful thing about that baptism account of Jesus is that the Trinity is together. The Trinity is united. You've got Jesus being baptized. You've got the Holy Spirit coming in the form of a dove, and you've got the Father saying, this is my Son. And in, you know, this is the affirmation that each one of us needs to hear. Each one of us needs to hear in our hearts the Father say, you are my Son, you are my daughter, I love you. And I would encourage you to ask the Father to say those words to you regularly. It's not just a one-off occasion that we need to hear that. We need to regularly hear the Father say to us, you are my Son, I love you. You are my daughter, I love you. Because this is This is the downward expression of life from heaven that comes into our hearts. See, our ministry, whatever that means, doesn't come out of our performance, but it comes out of our heart of sonship. That's exactly what happened with Jesus. He was affirmed as a son, and then he went into the wilderness. He was tempted by Satan, and then he began his ministry on earth. See, everything he did came out of that affirmation of his sonship. It came out of him receiving this downward flow of life into his heart. And everything we do should be the same. Everything we do should come out of the downward flow of life from heaven into our hearts. Stephen Hill, who's written an excellent commentary on the Gospel of John, Stephen's part of the team in New Zealand, he says this. He says, sonship is not measured in command and obedience, but in the ability to receive the grace gift and to live in the truth reality. Let me read that again. Sonship is not measured in command and obedience, but in the ability to receive the grace gift and to live in the truth reality. See, sonship is not about performance, but sonship is about receiving the gift of grace and the gift of life into our hearts. Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 27, for as many of you as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You know, it's like he's saying, when we are baptized, we become clothed in Christ. It's like we put on, we are wrapped around with Christ. So it's like, you know, when you put on a coat, people don't see the dirty clothes or whatever you're wearing underneath. They see the nice coat. And it's the same with this picture here, that Paul says, when we are baptized, we put on Christ. So the covering of perfection and the covering of beauty is wrapped around us. And all the stuff of our life, all of the pain, all of the fear, all of the insecurity, you know, even all of the shame and everything else is covered by us being wrapped in Christ. And so when people see us, they don't see all the stuff, they see Jesus, because we've put on this garment of Christ. That's what it means to be in Christ. You know, in Colossians 3, verse 10, Paul says, be clothed in love. You know, put on a garment of clothes, of love. And when we are baptized, we receive this covering that covers our fig leaves, covers our shame, and reveals the nature of Christ in us. And this is the journey of sonship that Paul is describing for us. He's saying that everything we are comes out of our sonship. It doesn't come out of our performance. It comes out of our relationship with the Father. And you know, as I've already said this evening, it's easy for us to sort of fall back into an old way of thinking or an old way of living. And just as Paul is drawing the Galatians back to something, he's also drawing us back to something. And what he's drawing us back to is this life of intimacy where we are clothed in Christ and we are held in the Father's arms. We're held in the Father's bosom, just as Jesus is. And this is who we are. We are his sons, we are his daughters. We are all sons of God through faith. Ingrid Wiltz, who's out in Uganda, Motomioni, she says this. She says, a son looks at what he has. An orphan looks at what he doesn't have. And that is a very, very powerful statement, because so often we spend our time looking at all the things we don't have or all the things we would like to be. And that's an expression of an orphan heart. But a son can be content in the knowledge, in the simple knowledge that we're a son or we're a daughter. We can rest in our Father's arms, knowing his affirmation on us. See, this affirmation is the downward flow of life from heaven into our hearts. And each one of us can receive and live in that downward flow of life every day. And the more we live in that, the more we look at what we have. And what we have is an incredible gift. We have this relationship given to us through faith in Christ that enables us to know in our hearts that we are sons, that we are daughters, that we have a Heavenly Father who is pouring his love into our hearts every moment of every day, and that we are loved in exactly the same way as Jesus is loved. If we don't have this spirit of sonship inside of us, we're always looking for something else. We're always trying to seek and pursue something that is always just a little bit beyond our grasp. But when we know that we're sons and daughters, when we know that the spirit of sonship is living in us, we can rest in the affirmation and the security of his love. And that is such an amazing gift. That's such an exciting thing for us to come to that place where we know that we're sons, where we know that the spirit of sonship is living in our hearts, where we know that we are all sons through faith in Christ, where we know we don't have to fall back and rely on the law, where we know we don't have to try and keep the law, because the law is impossible to keep. You know, the moment you try and do that, you will enter into this tension and this struggle between that strong desire of trying to do the right thing and that other strong thing that's going on inside us that Paul calls the law of sin and death. And it's a hopeless, impossible fight. And it's one we will never win. But when we cease trying to obey the law, when we know it's impossible to keep, and we let it go and we say, let's go back to the true gospel. And the true gospel is the journey of faith into sonship in relationship with the Father. It brings us an amazing amount of rest and peace. See, we've been redeemed. Our salvation is a work of redemption that brings us back into relationship with the Father. It sets everything wrong right again. And it's redemption. It's our redemption that gives us our sonship. And it's our redemption that enables us to receive the full rights of sons. John says in chapter 1 of his gospel that when we are born again, we are given the right to become children of God. And this is something that Paul talks about a number of times, is that we've been given, we are enabled to receive and live in the full rights of sons. And next week we'll look at that in a lot more detail. Next week we'll look at how we've got a bit of a misunderstanding of what that means through the use of a word in English, which has not been very helpful. And then we'll go on and look at how not only are we sons, but we're heirs in Christ Jesus. So I hope you can all come back next week and we can carry on this exciting journey together. So Barry, why not come back, eh?